So how was your first encounter with radio?
Well, then I was at KILO in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
This is the place that took you 8 months into
my
radio school,
career, right? Radio school, right. And I had wanted for a good number of years to be in Christian broadcasting. And I, Northwestern College Radio out of Minneapolis was the headquarters for, at that time, five radio stations, KFNW in Fargo, KNWS in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, KNWC in Iowa, and KTIS in Minneapolis. And I wanted to work in Christian radio. And I made...
Were you devout?
I was... what do you mean?
Were you evangelical? You wanted to proselytize, or you just...
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
No. But I wanted to work for Christian radio.
Grew up in church.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Listened, I suppose, to that kind of broadcast.
I did. But I didn't grow up listening to them because they weren't even around when I was growing up. But Chuck Ewan had been in Christian radio, see, and so he, mm-hmm. I idolized him, and I knew what he had done. So I made it known. I was in Minneapolis one day, and I went up to KTIS.
Is that one of the stations?
In Minneapolis, yeah. Right, and I say to them, I'm interested in this. And Spencer Bauer, who was the director, I'll never forget, he smiled at me, and he says, well, maybe with sweet persistence that can happen for you. And I've used that term, sweet persistence, a lot, because I think that that earns,
wonderful
that
term.
Gets you way in many places, sweet persistence, right? And so he knew that. Well, then when I was at KILO in Grand Forks, and I got a call from a minister in Sioux Falls that I'd known, Hampton Cavley. He'd been in Grand Forks, and he said, Spencer Bauer just called down here and said they have an opening in Sioux Falls. Are you interested in this? So what I did was turn around at KILO, and I said to him, I'm sorry, I'm leaving this job. I appreciate you hiring me when you did, but I'm going to something that I'd really enjoy doing.
After how long?
A month, and he was irritated.
A month?
And he says, yes, and he says...
Guy gives you a job, you're in school, and you only stay a month?
Right.
That doesn't even look very good on your resume.
Yeah, but you see, you do things when you're young, you take gambles when you're young, that if I were older, I wouldn't have taken. I have many times in my life took gambles when I was young that my brain of today would have said, no, you shouldn't have done that, and they all turned out to be good. So then I went down there to Sioux Falls, and I was with that chain of stations for 5 years and ended up, I was in Sioux Falls for a while, but then
these are the Christian stations,
right,
that you're talking about.
And I was at KTIS then in Minneapolis for a couple of years. Northwestern College was there, and it was fun for me. It didn't dawn on me to be taking college classes. I had these friends who were in college at Northwestern College, but it didn't dawn on me. My profession was to be on the radio, and I enjoyed that very, very much. And then ultimately, I moved to Fargo, North Dakota, KFNW.
And then, is that still part of the group?
It is. So I had 5 years there, which is fun. Now, those are the years that I could have been going to college.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it was my time there. On these kind of stations, you're not on the air a lot.
Is broadcast on them as a typical?
Well, they're preaching. They're preaching.
Program.
Preaching.
So you're just a series of preachers?
They're for a time of the day, that's true, and 15-minute programs or 30-minute programs. And then you come on and say, this is KFNW. The temperature is 55 below zero, but the skies are blue. And you do that. Well, then in the afternoon, you felt that you're more of a disc jockey from 4 until 6 or something. You got to play gospel music and do those sorts of things. Well, there came a time when this became boring. But it took me 5 years to get there, which is probably all right. So by that time, I'm about 25, 26 years old. And if Oral Roberts says... And he did, that God spoke to him, God spoke to me. Because I would go downstairs after I get a tape on, and I lay down on this couch. And I could lay and time my sleep for 14 minutes or 29 minutes, then get up, make a station break, go back down, lay down.
Now, I've heard these stories all over the place about people in radio who could do that. I'm not sure I ever believed anybody could do that.
Well, you're talking to one who did.
All right.
And I'm laying there. It's a God moment. God says to me, and he didn't speak out loud, he says, Lowell, are you going to lay here for the rest of your life? And I said, no, I am not. And the next day, I got up and I went, see, it's Fargo-Moorhead. I went to Moorhead and KBOX, and I said, I'm looking for a job in radio. I've been with KFNW, and they said, we'll do a little tape here for us. And
now, is this part of the Christian network?
No. This is one now. I leave Christian radio, and I go into the commercial world. And they hired me.
But at the behest of God, you did that? That doesn't sound quite right somehow.
Behest of God was not to lay here. I mean, you can have good people who work in commercial radio and all that kind of thing. It wasn't that I was leaving my faith or anything of that sort. I wasn't mad at God. God was helping me.
Right.
He was telling me,
showing you the way.
Are you really going to lay here for the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm. This is it for you?
Yeah, stopped? Is this all you're going to expect out of life? And so, KVOX, and I I'll never forget, they had a buy and sell program, which you did use the phone. People would call in on the phone, and there was something about the phone I came alive on. Use of phone and talking on the phone, it just did something to me, and I'm just, now you file that away. So I did that, and was on in the morning from whatever, 6 until 10 and so forth, and I'll never forget the old sports guy, Manny Marguette, and I was so enthralled to be able to work with him, and then I was there 6 months.
Well, you say you were on from 6 to 10. What were you doing?
Well,
playing
the morning,
music?
Whatever, music, and then this call-in program and all that kind of
was
thing.
Was it a talk show?
No, we didn't do talk shows back then.
It was more of a disc jockey thing.
Yeah, you see, so if we're going to try.
What kind of music were you playing?
I have no idea. In the 60s. So
was it rock and roll?
No.
Yet?
No, at that point? No. So then the mainline radio station, the news station in town, WDAY in Fargo, they called and said, we've been listening to you. We'd like to have you come work for us. And so, yes, after 6 months, I left that station and I went to WDAY. So my decisions of leaving when I wanted to, I worked out well. And then I was at WDAY for 5 years. I did television on the weekend, news on the weekend, and enjoyed it. Got to work with these were people that were bigger than life in Fargo, North Dakota. These were Dewey Berquist and Don Dresser and Earl Williams.
I'm sorry, what do you mean
Maury
by
Carlson.
Bigger than life? Are you
they
saying
were,
that
they were they big? Had... They were Hollywood stars, as you talked about earlier.
Right.
They were Hollywood stars.
Game in town.
Just huge. The big names, as I will get to when I talk about WCCO in Minneapolis. So this was fun to be able to work at WDAY, the leading station, NBC station, for years, and I got to be working there. That was a great experience for me.
Big fish.
Yeah, that was fun. So then that I just decided, you know what, I want to move on to a bigger market. So I sent out tapes, and I sent one to WOW in Omaha, Nebraska. And that one connected, and I went there. I should
big
say
big station, national reputation.
WOW, right? Yeah. And I should say that I was married and living in Fargo Moorhead in '67. Kristen Fretty, I was married to her. We had two children then, David and Michelle. And David was born in '69, Michelle in '71. So by the time we moved, they were just babies, basically, as we moved to Omaha, Nebraska. But I have fond memories. I did do some talk show, by the way, in Fargo, in WDAY. I did an afternoon show for an hour called What's Your Opinion? And then there was a nighttime show. And so
those would be people calling in on the radio about different issues.
Right. And so this was the time that talk was just beginning to come about. Bob Arnson had a morning program at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he was very liberal for that area, and he got a lot of controversy, and I would fill in for him and play the very conservative one. And
Is liberal in Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota was very liberal.
Well, that's what I mean.
It was the home of the DFL, the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, and the great home of Hubert Humphrey. And I remember seeing Hubert Humphrey coming to the radio station to be interviewed, and those people were there. So Minnesota was liberal. But there were, as in any community where there would be conservatives, basically conservative farmers up there were Republican. My family was Republican, and I consequently was, my first registration was as a Republican. So we had those things
going.
It
doesn't sound as if you are now.
I have strayed in the Republican area. Anyway, at any rate, that whole experience was good for me. I got to do talk shows and all that. I did television. And I had that experience.
When you say you did television, what did you do?
No, just on the weekend, new weekend news.
Okay.
Television, people would always say to me, well, eventually you're going to get into TV, aren't you? I just laughed at them. No. I don't know why I'd want to be in TV. I have the greatest job in the world. I can be on the air for 4 hours performing. And I don't need people looking at me. In fact, I often said, I like it that way. I don't like people around me. I don't want to see them, touch them, or smell them. And so that's why radio was appealing to me. And there wasn't a television in the world that I could have been on for 4 hours. I say, no, I am not. Do not want to be on television. It just was not interesting to me. I did enjoy doing the Saturday Night News for WDAY because that was an honor to be doing that because they had some great newscasters and all. So the fact that I could sit there and do that was fine, and I would come in and rewrite the news. I would just rewrite the news from what the earlier newscaster had been. And so that was a good experience for me.
Mm-hmm. There are those of us who have done both, and many, including myself, who think that they are so different, and they each have their attractions, but radio is by far the most intimate of the two broadcasting.
Yeah,
I mean, when you can sit there and be inside somebody's head, mm-hmm. and
I would agree, but I would agree if a really good TV personality or person, when they look into that camera and you're looking back at them, that's a pretty intimate experience, too. If the person who's delivering has that kind of charisma who does that, that's an intimate a moment as well.
I was just trying to get to the point that they are different and not one is not superior to the other. They are just different.
There they are, just different. And you could paint pictures in the minds of people that could not be displayed on television.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a theater of the mind. That's what radio is all about. So, you know, that
and
was
still
good.
Is.
That was my, it was radio. I had opportunities. So then I go to WOW in Omaha. Johnny Carson had worked at that radio station. In fact, my program director, Ray Olson, was also the program director for Johnny Carson. Merrill Workhoven was the newsman there, and he was he talked about Johnny being there. And they talk about Johnny walking down the hall and saying to the manager, you know, you got enough money in your pocket to cash my check. I just got paid today. I guess the thing that ultimately got him is they were trying to get rid of the pigeons who were landing on tall buildings and obviously doing what they do on people's heads. And they were killing them, poisoning them, I guess, in some way. And Johnny played the sound of these poor little pigeons cooing on the radio. How can you kill these poor little things?
Right.
And he actually got fired. And so
no kidding.
Is what they say. The lore of it is. And then he packs up and goes to Hollywood, and I guess he became famous. But anyway, that was kind of fun.
Yeah, so, he did become a little famous.
So I was at WOW and did an afternoon shift from 3 until 7, and that was fun. But then I was fired there after 2.5 years.
What for?
At, there. I told a joke about Blue Cross and Blue Shield on the air. And Blue Cross and Blue Shield was one of the biggest advertisers. Plus, I'd been irritating my boss's wife. I was, at that time, women's libbers and all was very much in the forefront.
What year? I'm lost on the year, sir.
When was in the 70s. I would have come there in 1971, 72.
So it's early 70s we're talking
right.
about.
Right. Okay. And so...
Women's lib in the early 70s.
I was making fun of these women at that time who were women's lib. I was making fun of them. And his wife, I'm told, was very much into the cause of women's liberation. And so I may have irritated him. And then this joke was about Blue Cross and Blue Shield, which I came to Tulsa and I talked about that joke. And I said, well, let me just tell this joke here in Tulsa and see if I can get fired or not. And so I told the joke there and I told the joke here. And the joke was back in May of 1962 was a very unusual month. That's when all the executives of Blue Cross and Blue Shield were out of town and they just forgot to raise your rates. And that got me fired. And so that was a good thing.
The first time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't get fired for that down here.
Right.
I took a chance. I told a joke, but I knew I felt the atmosphere was a whole lot different. And Blue Cross, if they advertised, were not a very big broadcast. And nobody, everybody just laughed at it. It was just right. silly. Anyway, I lost my job. Well, I never forget then, the manager of TV said, well, wait a minute, we don't want to lose you. I've worked out with the owners of the radio station, with Meredith Broadcasting, and they were the publishers of Better Homes and Gardens out of Iowa. And one of our perks was to get their magazine every month. And he said, I would like for you to come over to television. We have an opening on TV on Saturday Night Sports. Well, I pondered that. I also was given a job opening at KFAB in Omaha, which was the biggest radio station in town. That was the news station. They also wanted me to come over there, but I didn't like that because they rotated their announcers, and so if you did mornings for 2 weeks, then you'd have to go in the afternoon for 2 weeks. No, I don't want to do that. And when the boss, he says, all right, we're going to have a meeting with the salespeople. Come to the afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll have all the salespeople there, and we'll announce you as the news weekend sports guy. And I came to that meeting and he said, well, John is here now for our our new job as weekend sports guy. And I said, sir, I'm sorry, but I cannot take that job. Why not? Because radio is my calling and TV is not. And I don't want to give up radio. And he was mad. I'll never forget that because I had let it go on too far.